Dear friends, please allow me to be a guide for a short meditation for us all to start. It's I'll shorten it. Could be long. We wanted it to be long, but a short meditation on establishing mindfulness in our bodies, in our feelings, in our thinking, in our larger being, the world. Please begin with your breathing. Find your breath. Moving in, moving out. Allow your awareness to drop to the depths of your breath. As the diaphragm drops a little and presses down into the abdomen. Feel the sensation in your belly breathing in and out. And slowly, breath by breath, allow the awareness from the belly to grow outwards to fill the whole body. Just like a candle's flame, if it were burning in your belly, its light would radiate out and touch every cell of your body. While breathing in, I'm aware of my whole body. While breathing out, I relax my whole body. Aware of body, relaxing body. Body, relaxing. Now we'll allow our awareness to go to a more subtle layer of our experience, to that of feeling. Somewhere between the physical body and the mind. And just like a mother would hold her newborn child tenderly in her arms, so we maintain an awareness of our feeling. While breathing in, I am aware of feeling. While breathing out, I calm my feeling. Aware of feeling, calming feeling. Feeling, calming. Now with the next breathings, we turn our awareness inward further. To become aware of thoughts as they arise and move and dissipate. Just as if One was watching clouds in a blue sky, turning, changing, moving. So we are aware of thinking. While breathing in, I'm aware of my thoughts arising. While breathing out, I release those thoughts. Aware of thoughts arising, releasing thoughts. Thoughts, releasing. Now, with awareness established in the body, with awareness established in feeling, with awareness established in thinking, I draw my attention to the center point, a brilliant point of awareness to shine out on all that is around. Just as the sun shines indiscriminately on stones, plants, animals, people, so I shine my awareness on life unfolding. While breathing in, I'm aware of life within and around me. While breathing out, I smile to life. Aware of life within and around, smiling to life. Life, smiling. Let us enjoy one sound of the bell. So this past winter, I facilitated a retreat in Boise, Idaho. And during that retreat, I drew on a whiteboard an image of what we just practiced in the form of concentric circles. I had a big circle and I wrote body. I had a slightly smaller circle and I wrote feeling. And I wrote a slightly smaller circle and I wrote mind. And then the one in the middle I wrote the world. And I left it up the whole retreat and wrote it on the first day. And during the retreat a couple of questions came up. Why did you put the world in the middle? And the world is all around us. Some people thought it was strange. And I explained that it's by coming home to the center of ourselves, to the heart of our own experience, the innermost place within us, that we can bring our awareness and our attention. It's coming home to that that opens the door to the world. Usually the world that we perceive around us, we don't see from that place, we don't come from that place, and we don't really meet the world, because we're not really there to meet it. Yeah. When we come home completely, wholly, to ourselves, to life as it is, and we have our awareness grounded, established here, yeah, that door opens. It's quite marvelous. It's ironic, you know, to say, well, when I come home most to myself, is where I get everyone else. Right? It's where you find the means, the capacity to connect, to authentically connect to life around. When you're in that still place, the heart of your being, there are no boundaries anymore. There are no concepts and ideas, your own identity, anyone else's identity. It's not between you and the world anymore. When you come home there, those things they're not revealing themselves. They don't manifest. And so you have direct relationship, which isn't really relationship. It's like being together. It's no longer two things relating. It's quite marvelous. And I love the way the teaching has been presented in that way. That's quite naturally how I experience it. When I come home to my body and I establish awareness in my physical body, then within that I begin to sense the whole realm of feeling, this etheric space of life energy happening. And then within that, this even subtler, airy space of thinking, you know, it's like the wind. In one moment it could be my breath, and the next yours. It moves so quickly, you know. And coming inside like that. And in the teachings it's presented like that: body, feelings, mind, and then the world. Well, any object of mind. Technically the language is object of mind. But that seems like such an inner thing, but at the same time that's everything. Yeah. And it's quite marvelous. What makes mindfulness practice not just like a stress reduction tool, but a doorway to sacred, a doorway to meaning and purpose, to authenticity, you know, and not just, I need to manage the level of stress in my life to make my life a little bit better so that I feel better about it, you know. It becomes something completely different. If you really follow mindfulness practice, it becomes this thing that brings you into life, and suddenly it's not about you anymore, it's about life. And it's about the relationships you have and helping them to flourish and grow and deepen, and yeah. In Buddhist psychology, there are these lists of mental states, which are basically patterns that we've learned or we've been transmitted of certain ways of thinking, like jealousy or anger or kindness, even patience, things like that. And it's really interesting when you see them. There's a list of wholesome ones and a list of unwholesome ones. There's a couple other lists too, but the two big ones are wholesome and unwholesome. And when you look at all the ones that are in the unwholesome list, they're all, you know, me. They all have this, you know, about protecting me, myself, or my own interest or something, or building up some sort of identity, or proving myself. And And there's a real self-orientation. And when you look at all the other ones, the wholesome ones, which are called wholesome, like patience or respect or kindness, it's all about nourishing the relationship, the we, the togetherness of something. It's quite beautiful to see those different, very basic definitions in the description of our mind and our consciousness and how it works. But when we can come home to ourself, those boundaries that we typically set up to define ourselves as different from, you know, as apart from, sometimes unconsciously isolated from the world or from things that we really so much want to be connected to, but somehow we build up a construct of ourself and it, and they're different. All those things disappear. They get faint and evaporate when we can come home to life. It's immediate. This is not something you have to like practice sitting on a cushion for 10 years in a cave to achieve. You just have to breathe a little bit and come home and suddenly you feel better. Right? You feel connected to your breath and to your body, and wow, that's nice. And you open your eyes and you see a flower and you see the smile on a friend's face, and you know, all kinds of things start happening that generate energy and life and goodness and virtue. There's so much abundance in our world. There are so many beautiful things in our world that we need to be nourished by, that we need to participate in. And they're all there and it's all available to us. You know, it's very clear that there's an imbalance in sort of the wholesome and the unwholesome. And it has always been that the wholesome has the majority. It has, because if it didn't, everything would have fallen apart a long time ago. Yeah. But it's growing and rejuvenating and finding its way, you know. So we never have to feel hopeless or lost. Just come back. Come back to touch that. A simplicity in being. Just that, in being. And in that being, the whole world that is available. The whole cosmos that's available. I didn't say very much that was on that page. Okay, so this is a translation of verse of Daniel Ladinsky of St. Francis of Assisi. It's called When I Returned from Rome. A bird took flight, and a flower in a field whistled at me as I passed. I drank from a stream of clear water, and at night, the sky untied her hair, and I fell asleep, clutching a tress of gods. When I returned from Rome, all said, "Tell us the great news." And with great excitement I did. A flower in a field whistled, and at night the sky untied her hair, and I fell asleep, clutching a sacred tress. I like that. I don't remember the story of why he went to Rome, but I think that's beautiful anyway. Don't need to. When we've had the opportunity to practice being mindful, to come home to ourselves, to come home to our body, our feelings, our mind, to establish ourselves in life as it's unfolding, to start to take part in it. we get something that we don't have if we don't do that. It's a little bit of freedom. It's a little bit of power. Actually, it can be quite a bit of power. You see, if we don't do that, then whatever happens around us happens to us. And we just get swept along with the current. We all know what that's like, to have been overwhelmed by the conditions of our life in one way or another. Sometimes it's in a relationship that's meaningful to us, or was, you know. Or sometimes sometimes it's in the context of our work and things we're trying to accomplish and nothing seems to be coming together. Or it is for a while and all of a sudden it falls apart. And, you know, all the, whatever it is that happens, we know what it's like to be lost, to be pushed and pulled, even dragged around by life. And that is life without mindfulness. And anytime you feel like you're being dragged around, you should just make note to yourself, I have lost my mindfulness. Because the first thing mindfulness gives you is a choice. It gives you a little bit of freedom. Because it establishes you in life rather than under it. Yeah. And it brings you into a place where you can be it's like being a gardener. And there's all kinds of things in the garden, all kinds of possibilities in the garden. Right? And a good gardener would know if they want to cultivate a certain crop, they have to do certain things. They need certain quality of the soil, certain amount of sun, certain amount of water, etc. And we have a potted plant on our windowsill in the kitchen. And my wife Fern reminds me at least once a month not to water it. Because she's taking care of the watering of it, and if it gets too much, it will die. And this is just if you haven't ever witnessed this happening, that seems strange. You know, why would a plant die if it got a little bit of water, right? But if it gets too much, it will. You know, and so you know the right conditions. The gardener knows how to manage those. We need to learn to be a gardener in life and in the garden of our heart, you know, with what comes up inside us in response to life. Things happen all around us in the world every day. How do we meet them? How do we meet it? And if we're not mindful, something will happen. Yeah, that's for sure. But we don't know what it is, and it might drag us around. Maybe it's wonderful, but maybe it's not, right? You might be a very lucky person, and it's wonderful a lot of the time without you ever being mindful. But I'll bet for most of us, it's because we have a little bit of mindfulness in us that we're able to be a part of something that gives us a sense of meaning and well-being, right? The first thing that happens is we get that little bit of freedom, that little possibility to choose, to influence. Like I said, it's a little bit of power. It puts us in a position where we don't have to respond the way we've been conditioned to respond. We can, with an in-breath, come to that still point just for a moment and go a completely different direction. Yeah. Someone has pissed you off, and the habit, when that happens, is to react in a certain way. Maybe to get angry back, or maybe it's to shut down and run away. You know, whatever the habit is that you have, if you're able to in that moment, come down to that place inside. You can do anything you want. Right? You don't have to respond the way you've been conditioned. Right? You could choose instead to say, wait, I need to see a different angle here. I need to try something new. And I need some patience, you know. And suddenly you're a gardener. You've said, I need to do something with this soil here. The conditions aren't quite right. It's not nourishing the growth that's healthy for me, for us, right? I need to work there. And you cultivate a little. If you've been in meditation practice circles, you hear that word, cultivate. Yeah. And that's what we do when we are mindful. We're able to cultivate, to be a part of, and to participate in the unfolding and not just be moved by it. Mm-hmm. I like to say we get to be part of the co-creation of things. Right? We're going to manifest something completely new. Yeah. And it's up to us whether it's just a tiny little bit, one extra breath, or whether it's a total change of direction for our life. I've done both. And sometimes one works and sometimes the other one. And sometimes neither do. But nonetheless, I always learn. So one of the things that we can do is we can choose to cultivate a new way of thinking, a new way of meeting the world internally. Yeah? We've all been raised, learned a particular language, particular social skills, had a particular education, right? Probably quite similar around the room comparatively to like people in other parts of the world, right? But each our own. You know, we have our own way of thinking it through. But nonetheless, we're generally set up to think about the world we're meeting in a particular way. And we share a lot of things in common, I'm sure, about that. And many of those patterns of thinking, like I said in the beginning, you have these two different sets. You have wholesome patterns and you have unwholesome patterns. Many of them unconsciously take us in the direction of suffering. And when we become mindful, we have the opportunity to relearn how to think, in other words, to orient ourselves towards our life. And there's just a couple of things I want to share with you about that. And they have to do with some of the most important thoughts that we can take from the teaching that the Buddha offered. Often we're, especially in Zen circles, we're inclined to think that not thinking would be better. And in many situations, not thinking is better, or thinking less is better. But you won't make it through your life without thinking. No one will. So how do you do it? How do you do it well? You know? And there are certain ways that we can do that well. The Buddha was a master at this.